Ron, first off, welcome back to UConn. You traveled here a long distance. Now, I guess, call you retired in Ontario, even though I know you're still quite active. But the reason it's the CKRW's 50th anniversary, and you're certainly a very special part of that, having worked not only at the station for many, many, many years. You were the first voice on CKRW back in the day. What do you remember and recall about that day?
Well, I remember day one with great anticipation of what was going to happen that day. And I remember Mr. Hogan was there at the sign-on at 6 o'clock in the morning, and probably some family members and the mayor and like a whole bunch of people were in the radio station at 6 o'clock in the morning on the opening day, the 17th of November of 1969. The next morning, there was nobody. And you know what that's like. So anyway, I remember the day distinctly. And, of course, the equipment that we had back then was state-of-the-art back then. But, you look at what you do today. You do 10 times more work with modern equipment. Yeah. It was quite a day. I remember. I can see it in my head right now, working the sign-on shift.
Yeah. And I guess the programming was, I mean, now predominantly CKRW is a music-based station with news, but programming back in the day, what was that like?
Well, it was very difficult because, for instance, most people don't realize the entire music library for CKRW today is on a hard drive somewhere in this building. And back then it was records. So we had a system called, it was from International Good Music in Bellingham, Washington. And there was a generic announcer that would say things about the music and how it was introduced and all. And we had two tape machines. Tape one would run and tape two would run and back and forth all day long. And that was the host of the day was this guy from somewhere. And then we had a computer that ran the commercials, yeah. But that was not the greatest technology, but that's what it was, you know, back then. Yeah, it changed a lot.
And from back in the day, too, you know, live announcers and news has always been a staple of CKRW as well.
Well, it was difficult. We only had one news person. Well, you know, which is small station. That's what you do. And, of course, the news person was on from earlier in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. You know what that shift's like. And so it was difficult to get people, but we did find them. But I think we made a mistake in that we had this automation system running the radio station and didn't realize we actually didn't need as many staff members as we had because we had somebody monitoring the system all the time. That's really not how it worked. You let the machine run the radio station, and they would use, you'd record the weather on a cartridge or something, and then the weather would show up every 15 minutes automatically. So it was early station automation. I mean, today you do it with a computer. It's so simple, you know. Well, it's not simple, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm.
And again, and still with the programming, there's kind of a talk radio talkback back in the day as well. I know we don't do that now, but talk a little bit about that program and what you remember.
Well, what I remember in particular was there's a fellow by the name of John Dumas was involved with real estate here, and he was a territorial councillor, as they called them back that day. So he used to be the host of the talkback show. And because he was really connected with the community, with real estate, and he knew everybody about everything else, there were some great open-line radio shows there. And there was a councillor called Norm Chamberlain, and he and Dumas would go at it. And then there was Hilda Watson from Haines Junction. She was a counselor. And they used to fight, you know, and made good radio. I don't know if it was anything was ever accomplished. But Norm Chamberlain, people didn't realize, he stopped paying parking tickets. And someone said, why? Why are you doing that? He says, because the city doesn't own the streets. So he was making a point. And as a result of that, the city of Whitehorse now owns all the streets and they can charge for parking. But these are the kind of issues that happened way back when, and they were great radio days. Yeah, it's not that they are today, but great conflict on the radio is great.
Mm-hmm. And some of the features that we had, I know that birthday greetings ran for a long time. Trader Time is now a staple, and then the UConn Artist of the Day that it's now known. Did those get the beginnings from 50 years ago?
Well, the birthday greetings was what's established right from the day one of the radio station. We had birthday greetings. And you know, from a management of a radio station, you're trying to attract listeners. And while Birthday Greetings was fun to listen to, it also attracted listeners because you wanted to hear somebody phone up and wish your son or daughter Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, or Happy Birthday, you know, that kind of stuff. So it worked, and it's still alive today. And that those are the kinds of things that really stick with people's minds. But the thing that CKRW does is it touches the community. And you get people on in the community, and that's what they want to hear. They want to hear what happened down the street, not necessarily in New York. They want to know, you know, what happened to the car accident in the corner in front of the Dairy Queen? What happened to the such and such on Fifth Avenue? Those are the things that touch people in the community. And a successful radio station anywhere is doing that. They're touching the community and getting the community on the air to explain how they feel about these issues. And that's what you do.
It's 50 years, and I know this as a longtime radio person, that in the 1950s when TV came along, they were like, well, that's the end of radio. Now we've had the internet come along, and, you know, in the 90s, and they're like, well, that's the end of radio. Radio's still here. Maybe not so much, you know, in the larger centers, they're getting cut back. But, you know, we seem to be thriving here. The smaller centers all across the country seem to be thriving. Why do you think that is? Why do you think radio has really stood the test of time, really, for the last, you know, since competition, for the last, you know, 80 years?
Well, I'll give you an example. This is a television thing, but it can be equated to radio. There was a station in Ottawa. Had a television camera out the window of their building showing a high-angle rescue of a fellow that had a heart attack in a crane 7 stories up. Now, this is pretty graphic stuff. I mean, the guy was, finally, he was okay, but the pictures of this rescue going on, and there was another station in town was talking about politics on Parliament Hill. And that's the difference between the good and the bad. Is the good has the pictures of the guy coming down in the crane. Because that's everybody, what's what they want to know about. What's the crane doing there? And the person, the station that has that, what's the crane doing there, is the station people listen to. Because they'll gravitate to that station. Anytime something happens to Whitehorse, significant, like downtown or whatever, they can turn on CKRW, and either you will be there or one of your listeners will be there, and they'll tell you what happened. That's the secret of success.
And so, you're back in town for the 50th anniversary. Could you envision, you know, when you went on day one in 1969, could you envision, you know, lasting the 50 years?
No, and who knew? I knew I would. You know, I came up to CKRW from CKRM Radio in Regina. And when I came up the highway, I had to get a road map out to find where the Yukon was. You know, it was, and then coming up here and with the amount of daylight there was, and, you know, and this is an incredible place. But just as a vignette, when I first got here, the book Klondike by Pierre Burton was popular. And that was one of the best things I ever did, was read that book. And today, if you were to read that book, it'll tell you what the Yukon's all about. And I've lived my life to some extent about what I learned. And certainly being part of the Yukon was what was in Pierre Burton's Klondike.
You spoke a little bit about the technological changes. Now everything's on hard drive and all that type of thing. And even listeners may know a couple of years ago, we switched to FM in, I think it was 2003 or 2004, something like that. The AM tower actually came down a couple of years ago. But if you can touch on that, what did it take to set up the station? You say it was state-of-the-art from earlier back in the days, and it was everything was kind of semi-automated from back in the day, which kind of blows my mind as a radio, you know, thinking that it was still automation back at 50 years ago. But what did it take to set up CKRW?
Well, it was very difficult because the transmitter site was located on Gray Mountain. And I don't know how Mr. Hogan was able to get that particular site, but it was a really good site for AM broadcasting. And it's right across from the gun range. It's up there. And so that worked out really well from a signal propagation point of view. You could hear the station a long way away, which is fine for AM radio. But over a period of time, FM radio is the way to go. Because, for instance, if you have listeners in government buildings in Whitehorse who may be office workers and whatever, who kind of want to listen to your radio station in the background as they're working, couldn't do it with AM radio. It's just too noisy. And FM radio has cleared that up substantially and has gained you a lot of listeners because of the fact that you're on FM. But taking down the trees at the transmitter site, I remember doing that. I remember when the tower went up And one of my friends was doing the tower installation. And about midnight, he turned his ham radio transmitter on and hooked it up to the CKRW tower. He talked to somebody in Mexico or something like that. It was great. But it was great fun.
I don't think the CRTC would have frowned.
No, absolutely not. But, you know, it's midnight in the Yukon. Who cares, right? Yeah.
And finally, just to touch on your career, I mean, you mentioned, obviously, you were the first voice on CKRW and had, the many people in the room at the time. But take us through your storied career. You spent some time here. You went to CBC, yeah. And you went to came back. Just talk about, you know, being in radio in the Yukon.
Well, radio is how you touch people. Something that comes to mind. One day I was in Teslin, and I was, I can't remember the woman who operated the Teslin Cafe. And I used to have apple pie when I went in there. And I went to Haines Junction one day, and I said to the person in Haines Junction after I got back, I said, "That's the best apple pie in the Yukon." And the lady from Teslin called me up, and she said, "That's a lie. You told me my was the best apple pie in the Yukon." So you can touch people, you know, you touch people. And I talk to, you know, I'm probably famous for talking to youngsters and stuff like that. You have to get down on your hands and knees to talk to children, not stand up and point your microphone down. And interviewing people, I didn't know how to do it at the beginning. But you learn how to listen to people, what people say, and question them and do it with respect. And you'll never be turned down in an interview if you continue to do that.
Anything else to add at all on this very special milestone, and that you've traveled all the way from Ontario for this?
It was a 13-hour trip because of circumstances and planes and whatever. I'm just absolutely, when Evan called me and said, "Ron, what are you doing on this date 2 weeks from now?" I said, "I don't know, cleaning the snow off the driveway, I guess." And she said, "We'd like you to come back and be part of it." And I was absolutely thrilled to have the opportunity coming back. And as a matter of fact, I was walking down the street to meet some friends at Tim Hortons this morning. And Michelle Phillips, the famous Yukon dog musher, she was walking down the street. She says, "Hi, Ron, how are you?" And that's the thing I think I miss more than anything, is when you walk down the street in Perth, you're anonymous, right? Nobody knows who you are. But up here, people say hi, and they're friendly. And that's the thing I miss most, is the friendliness of people here.
Well, Ron, thank you so much for this, and thank you for being such an integral part of CKRW's history over the years.
It's pretty proud for me to be being part of the team here.